Good morning again, and thank you so much for the kind introduction from Zhao, and then also the invitation to share with you this morning in your chapel service. All right, how do you... all right, so as you can see from the title, Artificially Intelligent Sermon. Yeah, let me stop. So I'm going to share about AI because it's like a topic that you read about every day. Every day something is out about AI because basically it is developing at an extremely fast pace, right? And it's really impact and change the way the world works. Right? So I'll be sharing AI, but I'm not an expert in AI, so it's not going to be like something. Just maybe as a means of introducing it to the message. So I think my sharing will be like two sections. Firstly, I just share some points that I've learned about AI recently. Right, I'm actually quite new to AI. Right, and then second, to answer the question, right, like in this age of AI, do we really need the preacher anymore? Right, yeah. Okay. Or Bible study leader, right? Something. All right. So I'd like to try out something with the AI. So let me just do this. You first. Give me a second to do the setting. Is the audio okay? Is it picking up? Okay. Okay. How many of you are taking the Dr. Fong's course Introduction to Christian Mission? How many of you? Oh, okay, good. I hope to help you this morning. And I've got Dr. Fong's permission.
Hey, good morning, Dennis. Oh. What's on your mind today?
How come you're still showing my PowerPoint? I need to close it.
No, you need to duplicate the screen.
Oh, how do you do that?
Don't worry, I didn't catch that. Could you say it again?
Good morning.
Today?
I'm at Baptist Theological Seminary, Singapore, this morning.
The Baptist Theological Seminary for recently its 2020 convocation. Seminary's president shared insights during Lent, reflecting on biblical passages and emphasizing the importance of understanding the scripture's role in faith.
Okay, it's not working. Oh, okay, let's try. See whether it can or not. Okay. All right, so now I need to. Can you help me with something?
I'm here to help. What do you need?
Imagine you are a seminary professor, Dr. Fong, at Baptist Theological Seminary, Singapore. You have just conducted the course, Introduction to Christian Missions. Set three exam questions for the students to test their understanding and practical application.
All right. Engage their minds with these questions. 1. Discuss the biblical basis for Christians. How does scripture inform the church's call to mission? 2. Evaluate historical development of mission work from the early church to the modern, highlighting key figures and movement. And 3. Propose a mission strategy for a contemporary urban context, considering cultural, social, and economic factors.
Wow, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sounds like set for a thought-making exam. With anything else?
No, thank you.
Got it. Have a...
All right, so That is AI, right? Oh, but Dr. Fong told me there will be no exam. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm not supposed to tell them this, is it? Okay, yeah. So artificial intelligence, right, AI, is advancing at a very fast rate. You know, ChatGPT, which I didn't use just now, started 30th November 2022. Today is actually less than 3 years, but the advancement in it is amazing, right? It kind of blows our minds much further than anyone had imagined. And thinkers of AI mostly agree that they do not know really the future of what it's going to be like. Right? At the present, most of us will say AI has no moral conscience. Right? It's not, obviously, it will never be a human. Right? But it can, who knows, right, the future, how it will develop, that it can even have some sense of moral and conscience. Thinkers of AI mostly say that they really do not know about the future, how it will turn out. And so with this advancement of AI, right, so we cannot avoid the question, right, like how will AI then impact our church, our ministry? Right? Technology is always developed to be useful for people. We can see technology. Today, we just need to carry the handphone. Right, in those days, I don't like to say that the last time we all, you know, yeah, it sounds very uncle, right? So okay, but you know, we would have carried a small pocket diary here, a pen, and then what else do we have to carry? A phone card, you know, pager, yes, pager right here. Wow, so you know, and then if you are going out, you have to carry a street directory even, right? Yeah. Oh, hey, one more bus guide, yeah.
PDA.
Right. PDA, yes, yeah. Okay, so yeah, but today it's just my handphone. I can do much more than those things. Yeah, so technology is always developed to be useful for people, for society. And AI too, I think most of us will agree, it has a lot of good use. Especially in the medical field, right? And the cliche is this: AI can do the things you do faster and better, right? And no one can beat them. Now, then, the current capabilities of AI, right, because it's developing so mightily. Okay, this is a bit technical, the wording. Right? AI has this thing called a cultural linguistic fluency. That means it's so good if it's language, right? It can, because of the data and is able to get the data together, right? They can connect words, ideas, grammar accurately and therefore able to respond to you very well, right? So this is their linguistic fluency. Then it also has emotional and relational fluency, though it's not same as a real human person, but yet because they are able to sense, right, from the data, right, they can sense and respond to the emotion and your relationship in a way that computers were never able to, but today it can. Right? That's why a lot of people talk to ChatGPT, right, is their friend, and there's this problem, right? They just talk to ChatGPT 24 hours. It's like someone beside them. So it becomes an addiction, it becomes not healthy at all, and I'm glad. I think like OpenAI, the one who had ChatGPT, they are concerned about things like that. I think they are trying to change, right, and put some restrictions so that they came up with this headline that say that they want to make AI helpful and not addictive. So yeah, the ethical stand of the people who are in the forefront of AI is very important, right? If not, then it will just be misused. Another strength of AI is their simulation power. Right? It is able to simulate experiences that previously we can only experience in the real world, but today it can simulate that. I think like we used to be able only to maybe talk to someone about counseling, or maybe you want to see a doctor, ask for medical advice. You can only talk to him in person, but today you can just talk to ChatGPT, and it's like the doctor, you know, in the screen. Right? So they can simulate experiences, right, that we can only experience in the world, in the real world, that's not too long ago. And the next step they are looking at is, can these cultural, linguistic intelligence, the emotional, relational intelligence, their simulation power, currently is only be able to exist in the screen. But once they can move this to the real time and space, and basically that will be the robot. Yeah. But in today, the robot are not very good. They can't. But if the advancement of this technology can move to that, the point, and then it will be another breakthrough and a different world. You will have robots who are functioning so well, right? That what the AI is doing now in the screen. And so that is something that is not sure. They are not sure whether they will have the breakthrough or not to be able to reach the level of AI. So that's the question in the expert's mind, right? It is scary, right? Because then this AI robot will be as common as other categories of living things as sharing our world, right? I mean, today we have your pet dog, your cat. These are not humans, but they are sharing the physical space and time with us. And then there will be this new category, the robots coming in, right? So that is something not sure. It may or may not happen, but there is a scary prospect. All right, so that's the how AI has advanced. Again, this is just a little bit of it. You can see AI can do so much, right? You can create songs within seconds. You can create pictures, and I think those things you are aware of. And in fact, like John Piper, he was asked to do an experiment. So he, let me try to read what he says. So someone asked him, hey, John, would you, what do you think of AI? So John Piper, he went to ChatGPT and he told ChatGPT, write a 800 word article on the theology and thoughts of John Piper on the subject of AI, right? Something AI and the church ministry, and within seconds, right, he got that output. And John Piper was saying, if I were to read that, say in a podcast or anything, nobody will know that it's not from John Piper. It sounded exactly like the ideas and it sounded exactly like John Piper. So he said that's amazing for AI. But then he added, now if I were to do that without saying that it's from AI, then the ethics problem, right? It'll be unethical if it's not honest. So that's the impact of AI on our ministry. Right, just another aspect of AI which may not be so common. Is AI a tool? Most of us think that it's a tool. Actually, the people in the field, the more advanced thinkers, they will say AI is not tool, but an agent. So there's a difference between tool and agent. A tool is something has existed from long ago. A hammer, the most primitive spear or hammer, is a tool. A tool is always 100% controlled by the human. The effect is directly proportional to the human input. That's a tool. So you are always in control. Example will be calculator, typewriter, right, or hammer, things like that. Right, it is human controlled. Output depends directly on the user input. The responsibility lies with the user, right? Whatever happened is the responsibility is the user, right? It's how you use it. And so you're using AI as tool, it'll be like what we used to do, Google search. That will be like using it like a tool. Now actually AI is perhaps more than that. It's an agent. What's an agent? Agent has got this definition, an autonomous actor that perceives, decides, and acts within an environment towards goal, like a robot vacuum, you know, and things like that, or autonomous vehicle. So an agent goes beyond just the control on human. It can act on its own, and AI can do that, right? most basic is that AI can create new content for you, right? You just tell him, I need this. So they are able to do this on their own. The characteristics of agent, right, operates with some independence after being given the goals. Can make decision not fully anticipated by the human. Yeah, just now those exam question, you don't know what will come up, but you know, they have the independence to be able to make that decision. Implication is for responsibility, it become more complex. You really don't know who is responsible, how. All right, who is accountable? Is it the programmer, the operator, or the AI system itself, right? Yeah. So example, I just came across someone who say he used AI book restaurant. So the AI just on his own book restaurants for him, right? He didn't know what restaurant is, the AI book for him, right? Some restaurant. And then and when his friend messaged him, hey, what are you doing this weekend? He said his usual reply will be, I'm not sure yet. But this time he put the friend's message to the AI, and the AI replied the friend directly with a wonderful weekend plans. Okay. And then it's not even from him, it's just from the AI. So that's why AI is an agent, right? And the scary thing is, if you have millions of people using AI, then you have millions of agents existing, right? Yeah. So that is the what people are thinking about is the scary part of the AI. But we will always remember, AI is never the real human being. AI is simulated intelligence, not the real human intelligence. So as in the midst of, you know, working with AI, we always want to remember this, right? AI is simulated intelligence, not real human intelligence. Right, so with that, yeah, the question, right, of how does AI affect us on the ministry front? Right, so I come across this writing, I think article in, is this called Influence Magazine? I think it's on the internet. So by this lady Joy, she said this: I was scheduled to speak on Sunday and had not budgeted my time wisely. Despite thinking often that week about the Bible passage I planned to preach from, I was behind in my preparation. As I finally sat down to work on the message, I wondered whether I really needed to pull in a late night study and writing session. Opening an artificial intelligence app, I started typing, construct a sermon on a passage from. Perhaps you can understand the temptation. Those of us who preach and teach need all the help we can get. And really, AI can give a good, insightful, well-balanced sermon script in just like 3 seconds, right? After all, our aim is that the hearers benefit, and if this is a wonderful sermon content, why not? Or why yes, you know? Okay, the question, right? There are a number of questions one could ask at this point, right? What does all this mean for the future of ministry? Should I use AI for ministry? How to use it? Where is the line to be drawn? Yeah. And AI is getting better and better very quickly. Elon Musk was the one who said the rate of improvement of AI is faster than any technology I've ever seen by far. So in the age of AI, do we really need preachers anymore? So I'd like to share that the answer to that question is to ask, well, what is a preacher? What is a preacher? So to help answer that, we will consider Ezekiel chapter 3. Actually, it's chapter 2, you know, starting from chapter 2, the commissioning of Ezekiel. I just have to zoom in on just one aspect, right? The aspect that we just read earlier in chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, on the, you know, in that vision, he said God told him to eat the scroll, right? Well, the context, God calls Ezekiel and commissions him to speak his word to the people of God living in Babylon, right? But it's not an easy calling. God tells Ezekiel that he will be preaching to a stubborn people who are not receptive to his preaching. So certainly Ezekiel will not be a celebrity preacher in this case. But God will equip Ezekiel to be able to take the heat, right? Because earlier we read in verse 8 and 9, right? God says, but I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are, I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them. Yeah. So this difficult, challenging calling comes with God's help, right, to equip him to be able to handle the rejection, right, the hostile rebellion of the people to God's word. So I just want to zero in on the one thing in this message, and that's how God is preparing Ezekiel to preach his word. Let me just read that four verses again. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel. Right? So there's a God's preparation for him first before he goes out to speak his word to the people. The scroll... The scroll could be made of papyrus or leather, right? But it contains the word of God written on both sides. That's in chapter 2, verse 10. So it symbolizes that it is the word of God that the Lord is bringing to Ezekiel for him to speak. So Ezekiel is to eat the scroll. I believe this is in a vision rather than actually eating a real scroll, right? That would be your leather. I don't think you can eat that. Other mentions of this same symbolic act we find actually is in Jeremiah. That's one, right? And he says, when your words came, I ate them; they were my joy and my heart's delight. And in the book of Revelation, Apostle John also says he was told, right, that to take the scroll from the angel and then go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel and eat it. So, what does this eating of the scroll symbolize? Symbolize the word is to be ingested or taken by the mouth before it is spoken from the mouth. The word of God must be ingested first before you speak it out from the mouth. And the preacher is fed by what he is to deliver. What is the preacher? The role of the preacher. He needs to receive God's word before he delivers them out. So the act of eating encompasses, firstly, right, taking in the food in the mouth and then digesting it in the stomach. For what? For extracting the nutrients, converting to life-sustaining energy. Oh, that is the biological part, right? That's why, right, when we eat, that's what's happening to our digestive system. It digests the food. It's to extract the nutrients, right, for life-sustaining energy. So sermon preparation is like this food digestion process that goes on in our stomach. It is encounter with God through prayer, meditation, silence, and more so through the biblical text, interacting with the text. Our experience with the biblical text should be one of perplexity. Sometimes we think, we cannot understand this. That means I'm no good. No, I think whenever we encounter God's word, perplexity is good, well and good, right? Our experience of the Bible should be one of perplexity. And that leads to dependence on God for illumination, for a revelation of his will and his message, right, that's revealed in the Bible. So now, if every time we have a question, or as we prepare our Bible study or sermon, we straight away, AI, right, tell me what is this about, then we will miss out on this very important process of our spiritual formation, and wrestling with the text, and allowing God to illuminate us and point out to us. So AI will always give the answer and within 3 seconds, right? Honestly, likely to be better than whatever we can think of. We will get the info, but we will miss the process of forming us, right, through the encountering of God's word for ourselves. So in other words, it makes me more informed, but it does very little to form me. Yeah. So that is one reason why we still need the preacher to prepare the sermon. It will be the real-time God's word that's come digested and then delivered out to the people. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says this: do not read the Bible to find text for sermons. Read it because it is food that God has provided for your soul, because it is the word of God, because it is the means whereby you can get to know God. So our Bible study preparation, sermon preparation, and perhaps even you're doing an assignment in school. Yeah, it's not just to hand up to the teacher, right? So it's a process that we can use for spiritual formation, to get to know God, right? Sermon preparation is encounter with God. As we prepare, we are exposing our hearts and minds to the Lord. And this is the pathway of pursuing God, isn't it? To labor, to understand the text, craft our messages week in and week out, right? And it's the pathway, maybe a tough pathway, you know, but it is a pathway of pursuing God. And to hand over this process, to hand over the creation of sermon to AI, we will miss out on this very precious process, right, of pursuing God and our growth. So as Ezekiel eats the scroll, it tastes as sweet as honey. The words written on the scroll are words of lament, mourning, and woe. That is in chapter 2, verse 10. Right. So how can this be sweet as honey, right? It's like contradicting. Yeah, Ezekiel finds the taste sweet as honey. Well, people can find God's word either bitter or sweet, depending on their reception. Some people respond to the Bible with anger and rejection, but others respond with joy and acceptance. So the difference is in the heart of the hearer. So to people who listen to God's word and take them to heart and respond accordingly, it is sweet to them. And that's for Ezekiel, right? His humility, his lack of stubbornness resulted in his reception of God's word as positive, that tastes sweet as honey. And so for Ezekiel to effectively deliver the message that God has, he must first listen to God's word and take them to heart. And this means that he must really embrace the message, internalize the message, right? Digested it through, right, before he proclaims it. So it is after this process of eating the scroll, which is the preparation part, only after this, then God says to Ezekiel in verse 4, right, son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. So what is a preacher? Of course, there are many other answers, and I've just shared just this one. Right? The authentic preacher requires a diet of God's word. Requires to take in and digest God's word. So the preacher needs to receive, internalize, assimilate God's word before speaking. It is something for us to ponder and think about. Even for myself, right, the pressure of time to prepare sermon, and sometimes it's like consecutively, weekly, it is really just engaging the mind and think of the sermon, that's all. It's tough. I mean, very honestly speaking, tough to really have to quiet down and just engage with God to internalize the message that's made, right? Because we have to finish up the sermon script before Sunday morning. So even I think I have to learn this. Yeah. It's very real for us, right? The need to understand this process of sermon preparation for what it is and what it should be. Right, so this work cannot be outsourced to AI. Therefore, we still need the preacher because to prepare the sermon so that it is really something that's from God and delivered by his commissioned servant. Right? Yeah, AI will give you multi-paragraph, fluent, insightful sermon script, but sermon is more than information, right? Yeah. I want to say, yeah. Okay, something somebody observed, right? That when AI will always give you an answer. Okay, although you may be on audio or maybe just read it, right? He will always talk to you. He will always give you an answer and even ask you, prompt you further, right? Yeah. After I've done, like, I use AI for creating discussion question, right? After that, the AI will ask you, do you want a leader's guide? Okay, yes. Do you want to summarize the leader's guide? Yes. Do you want a closing reference? Yes. You know, they will keep on engaging you. Right? Never keep quiet. And someone asked, Mother Teresa, say, when you pray, what do you say? Mother Teresa said, I don't say anything. I keep silent. So this interviewer, a bit awkward. Okay, then when you pray, what does God say? I said, God also is silent. Right, yeah. So he's emphasizing about there are times of silence with God is part of that process. Of it's not always God must give you an answer every time. Unlike AI, right? Yeah. So it's also helping us to see that God does not give you answer every time. Sometimes it is silence, and it's part of that process of spiritual formation and encountering God. Yeah. So so coming back to the, where am I? Oh yeah. Okay. So if preaching was simply a matter of relaying information, right, concerning theology of the Bible. Perhaps AI can do the job if it's just mere information. But however, our assignment of preaching or teaching the Bible involves more than that. Right? God calls transformed people to share transforming truth. Right? So God wants transformed people to share the transforming truth. So not a machine. And that can only happen when we encounter God. In the preparation, experiencing his word with some perplexity, asking questions, wrestling for the answer, and then walking the pathway of pursuing God. So remember when I first started, the person Joy who wrote that, she was hard pressed for time. She needed that sermon out soon. She went to chat GPT, type in, and here's how she ended. All right, a sermon is more than just a speech. Preaching is my spirit speaking to your spirit through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit guides the message, empowers the message, and draws people to God in response to the message. But what the AI material really lacked was my voice, engagement with the Holy Spirit, or with God, right? And then discernment concerning what God wanted to say to the congregation. I closed the AI program and instead asked the Lord to meet me where I was and help me with my sermon preparation. And then I got to work. Yeah. That's tough. Thank you.